Hi, thank you. My name is Tristan Hooks. I'm a research associate for Dr. Gunwan Nu at Texas A&M AgriLife Research Center in El Paso. I'm also a PhD candidate at New Mexico State University. I'm here to present our research on the performance and phytochemical analysis of 22 varieties of pomegranate in West Texas. A quick introduction on and some background on pomegranates. Pomegranate is a fruit-bearing small deciduous tree. It's native to the Middle East region. It's also considered one of the oldest cultivated species in the world, and it's also adapted to arid and semi-arid regions and considered drought-tolerant. Many of you are familiar with the pomegranate fruit. I'm sure many of you know that pomegranate is considered very healthy. That's because the fruit contains bioactive phytochemicals such as antioxidants, known for their health benefits, including reduced oxidative stress and inflammation. Pomegranates are produced everywhere throughout the world. Main producers include India, Iran, China, and Turkey. They're also produced in Chile, Spain, Tunisia, Morocco, Afghanistan, Russia, Argentina, Algeria, and South Africa, to name a few. The U.S. also grows pomegranates, specifically in California, mainly. And it's valued at over $200 million per year. And this is growing because interest in growing pomegranates is increasing. For the U.S. market, over 90% of the U.S. market consists of a single variety, and that's the wonderful variety. However, there's estimated to be more than 500 different pomegranate varieties worldwide, so there's a lot of genetic potential. There's a lot of diversity within pomegranate, but right now we're not really utilizing that, especially in the U.S. And a lot of those different pomegranate varieties, there's little quantitative information on those varieties. So with that, the objective of our research was just to evaluate or screen the performance of 22 varieties of pomegranate. We did this over the course of 3 years in a field trial in West Texas. Here's the list of the 22 varieties that we acquired. If you notice, the native region where a lot of these varieties came from is from all over the world, including Russia, Afghanistan, Spain. We have some from the U.S., and we actually have some local varieties that we acquired from some local growers in the El Paso region. We're not exactly sure what they were, though. Just within this 22 varieties of pomegranates, there is quite an amount of diversity. I know we're all accustomed to seeing a dark red pomegranate fruit with dark red arils inside. However, we had some fruits that had light pink arils or even yellow arils. And even the color of the skin, we had some varieties that were yellow and orange as well. So our field plot was established in 2015 in El Paso at a research center. We had 96 saplings transplanted in April of 2015. The field plot was divided into four blocks of two rows each. We had 2 by 1 meter row and tree spacing. We used an automated drip irrigation system. We used a combination of both slow-release fertilizer, and we had multiple applications of water-soluble fertilizer throughout the growing season. The growing season usually started in February, and harvesting was usually in late September. Early part of the year, we collected phenology data, including leaf budding and anthesis. And, of course, at the end of the year, we harvested and collected harvest data. We also analyzed the fruits for phytochemical analysis. And, of course, all of our data, we ran ANOVAs, but we also did cluster analyses on our data just as a better way to group all the varieties. So I'll go into our results. I'll start with phenology. On the left-hand side is leaf budding. On the right-hand side is anthesis. And on the x-axis, it's just days. So there were significant varietal differences for both leaf budding and anthesis. Quite a bit of difference, more than a week, for both leaf budding and anthesis between the different varieties. There was some correlation between budding and anthesis, not as much as I thought there would be, but essentially some varieties, if there was early budding, they also had early anthesis. And I guess I should explain, anthesis is essentially just flowering. It's when the flower is in a fertile stage, right when it blooms. For pomegranate, by the way, this only lasts like 1 to 2 days, so it's pretty short. And there's a picture of anthesis. So some varieties that budded early also had early flowering, but this wasn't always the case. And there's also an inverse correlation between anthesis and fruit fresh weight, which kind of makes sense. So the varieties that had early blooming also produced larger fruit sizes, so they had more time to produce those flowers. So this data is presented then in a cluster analysis, and for both budding and anthesis, the varieties in the red clusters are similar and they have greater means. So those varieties were the early budding varieties, which are listed here on the left side. There's quite a few of them that were early budding. And for anthesis, the early, again, the same thing with the clusters, the varieties in the red cluster were the varieties that had early flowering, or anthesis, presented on the right side. Okay, here's fruit count and yield. Again, there are significant varietal differences, quite a bit of differences for fruit count and even for yield. There is correlation between these two data sets, which makes sense. I mean, if there's a variety that's producing a lot of fruits, it also is going to produce a lot of yield in kilograms. There are some varieties that did very poorly and some varieties that did very well. We're not sure if this was due to just environment the variety here in particular, LC, was one of the local varieties that we acquired, and so we're just unsure about what was going on with that one. But there's also some inverse correlation between fruit count and fruit fresh weight. Somewhat, and so what this meant, I didn't present the fruit fresh weight just for the sake of time, but what this meant, and this kind of makes sense, some of the varieties that produced a lot of fruit produced smaller size fruit, and some of the varieties that produced smaller amounts of fruit produced larger size fruit. So this could be important for growers interested in a specific size or a market quality. So again, this yield data is shown here in a cluster. And once again, the varieties in the red cluster were high-yielding varieties. That included Selivatsky, Russian 8, Alcyonar, Spanish Sweet, Ben Ivy, Soranor, Kandusky, and Kazaki. Okay, we also measured sugar contents, our Brix values. Again, there are significant varietal differences. Values range from about 14% to 17%. From some of the local growers, they use a standard of about 15% Brix values for pomegranate. And so there is some variation within these Brix values. And what I know is that as a lot of these varieties are ripening at different times. And this was hard to account for because we harvested kind of at a similar time frame within a week. Some varieties may actually, we noticed that some varieties could have been pushed further and had maybe even a longer growing season where they could have been harvested later, and these Brix values may have changed. But for consistent harvest all at the same time, we saw some variation in Brix. And here's the cluster analysis again for the varieties that had higher sugar content, included Early Wonderful, Arturo Ivy, and Angel Red. About 17% Brix values. Then the lower sugar content varieties included Kazaki, Soranor, Kandusky, Moyer de Elche, and Apsbronsky and Spanish Sweet. For the phenolic and antioxidant concentrations, phenolic concentrations are on the left, antioxidant concentrations are on the right. These values were pretty good, well correlated. There are also significant differences among varieties. Values range from about 0.8 to 1.6 milligrams per milliliters of juice for phenolic concentration, and antioxidant concentrations were a little bit higher and range from about 3.8 to 6.8 milligrams per milliliter. Again, I'm just showing the cluster analysis for antioxidant concentrations, and the varieties with higher concentrations of antioxidants included Angel Red, Marcelino Lozano, Kandahar, and Early Wonderful. We also did some abiotic stress tolerance for some for split tolerance and sunburnt tolerance. So these pomegranate varieties. So split fruit is a common problem with pomegranates and usually associated with excessive watering in the late season, which causes the fruit to swell and the fruit to eventually split. And obviously this is not a marketable product, so there could be huge losses with growers in regard to fruit split. And same thing for sunburn. Maybe not a huge issue in California with a wonderful, but there's a lot of varieties that have lighter skin. And especially with the sun we get in West Texas, there was a lot of sunburn issue that we had. So there's a picture of some sunburn damage on some of the pomegranates on the right side. So there was definitely variation among these varieties of pomegranates for both split and sunburn tolerance. There are significant differences. There's a slight inverse correlation. We noticed that some varieties that were more tolerant to split showed more, they had more sunburn damage than vice versa. So that was slightly interesting and may have to do with their native origin for where some of these varieties came from and whether they are more adapted to wetter climates or drier climates. But here's, again, the cluster analysis for both split tolerance and sunburn tolerance. So varieties that were more split tolerant are shown on the left-hand side include Kazaki, Salavatsky, Kandusky, Soranor, Rushanay, and Larry Ceballo. And varieties that were more sunburn tolerant included Early Wonderful, Arturo Ivy, Chiva, Ben Ivy, CV, and Deonda. We also collected data on black heart disease of pomegranate, which is a common disease for pomegranate. It's caused by a fungus called Alternaria species. It actually infects, most of the time it infects the fruits during flowering, and the fungus spores are transported via moisture. The fungus develops with the developing fruit, and it actually causes the arils to rot from the inside. But you can't really see any signs from the outside of the fruit, so it's hard to tell if the fruit has this disease. Only when you open it can you see the disease. But what we found, we actually did not find a lot of this disease in our field trial in West Texas. So a lot of the varieties did not have the disease at all. And even the varieties that did have some of the disease, for example, El Serenar here, Kandahar here, Moyad Elsh here, and a few others, I mean, this was less than 10%. So there was not a lot of this disease that we found, which was good, and this may be due to our arid climate in West Texas. So in conclusion, within the 22 varieties that we evaluated, we had significant varietal differences in all response variables, so there's quite a bit of genetic diversity and variation. Presumably, there's a lot more in pomegranate, a lot more untapped diversity in pomegranate that could be available. We think there's good potential for pomegranate production in arid and semi-arid regions like West Texas. A lot of different morphological traits and phenotypes that growers can market and exploit with pomegranate. And overall, just wanted to highlight a few varieties that had good performance, just overall, that we noticed, and that includes El Serenar, Ben Ivy, Deonda, Marcelino Lozano, Purple Heart, Russian 8, Utah Sweet, and Wonderful. Thank you.
We've got time for a few questions. Any questions?
Yes. Marketable size, yeah. We at the very last year, we did do fruit diameter, and there actually is a marketable standard for fruit diameter, like a fruit size. Unfortunately, I did not get to show that data or present that data, but yeah, there is a standard for fruit size. Yes, sir.
Any evidence of bias?
virus, not that I'm aware of. We only looked at that main disease, like I said, black heart. Yeah, that's an interesting point, but no, we did not look into that. But thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Any correlation between sweetness and color of the arrow?
No, we actually did not find correlation between bricks and the color of the arrow. We did with antioxidants and phenolics. They did tend to be in the darker colored arrows, some correlation there.
Okay, thank you very much. Appreciate it greatly.